Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
If anyone wants to call someone an Uncle Tom, first read the book. Uncle Tom was a heroic figure. Uncle Tom stood up against the Democrat Simon Legree, who wanted to enslave those people. He stood up and he fought, and he was willing to die for freedom. So anyone who wants to call me or any other African American an Uncle Tom doesn't know what they're talking about, because you don't know what an Uncle Tom is. You're a Sambo, you're a Quimbo, you're working for the Democrats. That's the party of slavery, and you're continuing the enslavement of our people.
You heard what that man said, Negroes? Did you hear what that black man said, Negroes? And I'm talking to a group known as the NAACP, which stands for Not Another Colored Complaining. Not another. I had it wrong. I screwed it up. I totally screwed it up. Not another.
Colored.
No. Not another African complaining person. That's what it stands for.
Oh, not another African complaining person.
Not another African complaining person. That's what the NAACP stands for. Now, I'm
How about no applications accepted, colored people?
Wow!
Oh, I'm sure JC's got something to say about that. But no, okay, he's not there. Anyway, let me get to the whole deal. If you haven't heard, if you have been living under a rock, and I'm sure my listeners have not been, Mitt Romney went and spoke to the NAACP today. And you know, those Negroes did not want to have to hear what the white man had to say. Now, I just want to break a couple of things down to you before I get to the whole crux of this thing, okay? I've said this before, I'll say it again. President Barack Hussein Obama came out and said that he supports marriage between a man and a man, and a woman and a woman, believes that gay people should get married. Gets $1 million in 90 minutes. Then comes out on at the Rose Garden and says that he is going to pass amnesty for illegals who came into this country through no fault of their own by their parents between the ages of 16 or 16 and under, and they can't be any older than 30. I don't know what the hell he was talking about. But they pretty much just told, executive order, do not enforce the law. If you catch one of these little crumb snatchers from Tacoville, you cannot deport them.
Don't call us.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Because we're not doing anything about it.
And then he released that famous We've Got Your Back commercial for the Negroes. So he went out there and told the gays, hey, I'm President Obama, and I've got your back.
And I approve this message.
I approve this message. Gay people, y'all should get married. Gay people should be allowed to get married. I ain't going... You know, I'm not going to change the law, but y'all should get married. And then he told the Latinos, don't worry about it. Y'all can stay in the country. I got you. You're going to stay in the country.
He did more for the Latinos than he did for the gays, the blacks, and everybody else included.
Exactly. And then went to the African Americans and said, y'all got my back?
Y'all got my back because I'm black?
Yes. Y'all got my back because I'm black. I like that.
Got my black back?
Y'all got my black back? I like that. Mary, you are on point today.
I'm always on point.
Well, that's true. You are always on point. Y'all got my black back. So then, hold on. It makes things even better.
I'm going to catch you next year on a rebound.
JC, it sounds like you want to say something. And for some odd reason, I got no volume on you. Hold on. I'm fixing that now. I can't hear you, boss. I'm pretty sure that everybody else can, but I can't. Hold on for a second. I'll fix my audio and I'll put you in. But just hold on for a second. Just put yourself on hold. Hold on for a second. I'll fix my audio in a second. Now, with all that being said, then the NAACP has their national meeting. Right? Their national meeting. And what do? They ask the President of the United States to come and speak to the African-American community at the NAACP. Why not? It's an election year. And the President of the United States, the first African-American President of the United States, during an election year.
Tommy, he did not say no.
He didn't go. He sent Eric Holder yesterday.
How are you going to send somebody that got found held in contempt to go?
He didn't even go. So who goes down there but Mitt Romney?
Well, Mitt Romney and Eric Holder. Eric Holder is less black than Barack Obama.
But for crying out loud, what I'm saying is that if this isn't a clear indication that this quote-unquote black man does not care about your vote because he knows he's got it locked down, come on, even Mitt Romney went. And Mitt Romney knows that he doesn't have the African-American vote, but he still showed up.
And he knows he probably won't get it, but he should get it. Because all you African-Americans out there, Barack Obama does not give a damn about you or the NAACP.
But Mary, come on. The guy doesn't.
The white man came and the black man said, no, thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't have to go. You got my black back and that's all you need to know.
It's a wrap. I don't have to go. What are you going to do, vote for him? And I've said this often. How many times do I have to repeat it? You know what they're saying to you. They're saying to the African-American voter, what are you going to do, vote Republican?
No, what they're saying to them is, regardless, what are you going to do? You going to vote white or you going to vote black?
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to vote black because your neighbors would call you a turncoat.
No, you're not going to vote white because your neighbors would call you.
I'm sorry, you're not going to vote for the white guy because your neighbors will call you a turncoat. Your neighbors will call you an Uncle Tom. You know how they're going to treat you if they find out that you voted for Romney. They'll probably burn your freaking house down.
And you see what the white folks did to Trayvon Martin, so you better not vote for him.
That's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to say, screw you, you're not going to vote for him, or you're just not going to show. Come on, man. What am I going to go to vote for? I need to get, you know, these middle-class voters. I need to get their attention.
It wasn't the black people that voted him into office in the first place. It was white people that voted him into office. That's how he won.
Absolutely.
Because obviously, the population of white people is higher, way higher than it is for black people or Latinos or Asians or anybody else in this country.
Absolutely.
But however, if you were to count how many illegal immigrants are in this country that are going to be able to go to the polls and vote, which are the only people that Barack Obama did anything for the entire time he has been in office. The only thing he's done for anybody is people that are not even from this freaking country. And I'm not even here legally. He ain't done nothing for the blacks, nothing for the whites, nothing for anybody but illegal immigrants. And that probably, if we could count how many illegal immigrants, will probably come up closer to the population of Caucasians versus African Americans.
Thank you for that, Mary. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, accurate. I couldn't have said it better.
And you don't need any ID. You don't have to do any of that to vote. You can go vote and say you're whoever you want to be.
Anyway, so here's Mitt Romney getting booed at the NAACP speech he gave today.
I'm going to reduce government spending. I hope everyone understands that high levels of debt slow down the rate of growth of the GDP, of the economy. And that means fewer jobs are created. If our goal is jobs, we have to stop spending over $1 trillion more than we take in every year. And so to do that, I'm going to eliminate every non-essential, expensive program I can find. That includes Obamacare. And I'm going to work to reform and save
I can take it, Negroes. Give it to me. Come on. Keep booing. I'm still going to do it. Still going to do it, bitches.
Open up energy. Expand trade. Cut the growth of government. Focus on better educating tomorrow's workers today. And restore economic freedom, and jobs will come back to America, and wages will rise again. We have got to do it. And I know the president will say he's going to do those things, but he has not, he will not, he cannot. And his last 4 years in the White House prove it definitively.
And nobody in that room can refute it. Okay? You went from 13.7 unemployment in the African-American community, jumped up to 14.4. It's at 11% in the Hispanic community. And what is he giving you? He's giving you a couple of nice little trinkets.
Yeah,
he's taking your damn jobs and giving them to illegal immigrants. That's what he's doing.
But they don't care about that. They don't care. They know they're struggling, but they like.
What are they saying? Let the illegal immigrants go and get jobs and pay taxes,
and
then we'll live off
their
taxes.
Mary, you gotta understand how the black voter works. And I know I'm gonna get heat for saying this, but you gotta understand how the black voter works and how the black voter thinks. Okay? Symbolism means everything to the Negro. Now, somebody make this argument against it if you want to, but you can't argue what I'm about to say. And I want to hear somebody try. Symbolism means everything in the African-American community. It's the reason why you wear clothes that you can't afford, drive cars that you shouldn't own, buy electronics that you know you can't afford, because it makes you look good. It's symbolism. You got to dress nice. You got to wear the Louis. It's all about status. You got to look like. You got a lot of money when you got pennies.
But
champagne dreams with bubblegum money. That's the Negro ideology. And you know that the only thing you care about, see, you don't care how much black people have to suffer in the community. You just need that black man in office for that symbolism. You need that look. That puts you in some sort of standing, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, my brother, we got a black president in the White House, son. We moving up in this bitch.
And if you ever talk to Barack Obama like that, talking about, yo, what's up, son? How you doing, my man? What's going on? What's good, son?
My name's Barack Obama, and I slap you in the mouth.
Yeah, Barack Obama is not trying to hear any of that backlash talk. He is not having it.
Exactly. But
whether you're white, blue, black, or green, he ain't listening to any of that.
You ever notice that Barack Obama's always got to throw in like a Jay-Z or a young Jeezy comment just to seem as though he's still hip? I mean, come on. But anyway, that's enough about that. But you get my bottom line here.
You know why he does that? To keep the black
vote? Oh, absolutely. But my bottom line is this, is that the African-American voter, they, look, I'm sorry, it's just the way that they think. If I were to say that black people think differently than whites in any regard, it's that. Symbolism.
But I would think, I would say, I would beg to differ and say that there may be, I think that it's a financial inequality, because I think that even people, I think that a lot of people that are underprivileged, regardless of their color, if they're underprivileged, I shouldn't even use that word underprivileged, because it's not underprivileged. You can do and be whatever it is you want to do in a
fair
country.
Enough.
But if you're in a lower class when it comes to money,
if you're of meager means,
okay, if you're of meager means, you tend to look at things in a status point of view. You don't really know how to budget the little bit of money that you do have. And you always say, oh, well, you know, I don't ever really have a whole lot of money, so now I have some money. I'm going to splurge and try to make myself look like I got some money. I'm going to drive this BMW even though I live in the hood or in a trailer, and ain't got no furniture and can't even afford no toilet paper, and I go to the local Wawa and steal me a roll of toilet paper every now and then.
But I look good.
But I look good.
But I think you're making my,
good
I think you're making my point for me.
But I think that that happens in all races. I don't think it's just with black people.
Absolutely
I think,
not.
I've seen white people do it
no,
myself.
Anybody with half a brain knows. Anybody with half a brain knows. Is that if your character...
But you're saying anybody with half a brain knows. That's insinuating that
I didn't suggest that black
people
don't have half a brain. I'm saying that black people think on a different level
but
than
I
most
think that it's
because
poor people
of,
that think on a different level.
I'm not going to agree with that. But I'm not going to agree with that. When you think it's a poverty thing. I don't think it's a poverty thing. I think that people, when they understand that they're poor, they understand that they're poor. I see less of that behavior within mainstream Americans than I do in the African-American community. I think the African-American community has an issue with status, has an issue with symbolism, that they like this whole perception that they can pull off even though the reality is untrue. Because they, nowadays we believe that perception is 90% reality, even though in truth it's not. We know that if you're poor, you are poor. But if you can show that you look good and that you at least wear some sort of expensive wares, people will perceive you as having some sort of money, that you're a part of some sort of status quo. And that's where I believe that black people look at this, and I believe that they're looking at this presidency the same way. The reason why I say this is because while applauding Mitt Romney on some levels, they were angered by and booed the fact that he was going to get rid of Obamacare, knowing damn well that all they know is that this is an association with Obama. You can't say anything negative about the black president. You can talk about all that good stuff about how we need more jobs. Yeah, you're absolutely right. We do need more jobs. You need to talk about how we need to make more people join the middle class. Yeah, we absolutely agree with you about that. That's right. But then he says he's going to repeal Obamacare in order to get those things, and they go, boo, 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 boo. My argument would be to them, but wait a minute. You just applauded everything I just said about getting more jobs. Well, Obamacare kills jobs if you know anything about the bill. We know these Negroes, if they even know about the bill, they don't care. They care about the symbolism of Obamacare, even the fact that it's referred to as Obamacare. They cannot deal with that being challenged because Obamacare is what it'll be for the rest of the world, rest of their lives if it stays. And they know that he would have been a part of the fundamental change that happened in over 100 years.
But the issue is what they need to recognize is that if he stays in office and Obamacare does not get repealed, then in the end, okay, fine. You was up for him. You was down for him. You had his black back all this time. And 2 years from now, look at where the country will
but
be.
Mary,
and then are you going to say, oh, it's Barack Obama's fault?
But Mary, they won't care. Let me tell you why. Because you know what their excuses? You know the black community, when it comes to Barack Obama, will make excuses for him. What they'll say is that, you know what? It didn't work, but at least he tried. They would never say that about Bush. They would never say that about Reagan. They would never say that about any conservative. They would say that about Bill Clinton. At least he tried. At least he tried. You know, you got to give the man effort for trying. No, we don't give a man anything for trying to do something that destroys the country.
Not when you're the leader of the free world.
No, you don't. We'll let James get in here for some opposition because I know he's got something to say, and I'm sure he wants to challenge everything that I just said. James?
Yeah.
Go for it, boss. From what you gather so far... Let's start with the first thing that I brought up. Mitt Romney shows up at the NAACP to give a speech. Barack Obama passes it off to the Department of Justice head during an election year. Do you think that he was just pretty much just passe and just said, you know, I got you niggas votes, whatever.
You know, the man is running the country, is he not?
He's also campaigning. James?
No, actually, James, he's not running the country. He's running the country. He's running the country into the ground.
But, James, he showed up at Ohio State University. Ohio State University. He showed up on Jimmy Fallon, slow jamming the news. He couldn't show up at the NAACP. Come on, man. He showed up at Jimmy Fallon to slow jam the news, but he didn't show up to the NAACP.
I'm not in the office, so I can't tell you why.
He called Jimmy Fallon. The White House called Jimmy Fallon because they knew he was going to be at North Carolina. They knew he was going to be at that college. They called his show and asked if the president could be on to give a campaign speech during Slow Jamming the News about lowering student loan rates. He called, the White House called a television show, a comedy show, to slow jam the news. He couldn't show up at the NAACP. Come on, man. Jimmy Fallon said it on the Today Show to Matt Lauer. The White House called us and asked, could we be on the show? He couldn't show up at the NAACP, man. Do I have to get that audio, too?
Well, you need the audio. I don't need the audio. I'm just saying I don't know why he wouldn't have showed up or not. No one can tell.
Mitt Romney shows up. Mitt Romney shows up, who knows that he's not going to get one iota of support from the NAACP. But he showed. Dude, this is an embarrassment to the first African-American president to not show up at the NAACP's national convention during an election year. Yes or no?
That's kind of embarrassing. I'll give you that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, that being said, is he taking the African-American vote for granted because he knows they're not going to vote otherwise?
No, I don't think so. And I think, first and foremost, he doesn't take the black vote for granted, just like everyone else. You know, you can't take the black vote for granted. Okay? You just can't. A lot of people are voting.
James,
count.
Well,
why
is
it I get asked a question if I can't
let
answer?
Let me answer. I apologize. Go ahead, James. Go ahead. Let that answer.
Go ahead.
Okay, so just a quick question. You said that just forget it. Go ahead, because now I'm all discombobulated.
Go ahead, James.
Everyone knows you can't just take the black vote for granted. I don't care what you say. There are more people who are voting because of his own issues than you want to give us credit for. All right?
Well, you're saying, James, wait. James, I'm sorry. Just let me ask you to clarify that. You said no one takes the African-American vote for granted because they vote Republican sometimes?
What? When did I say that?
It was a question. I didn't say you said that. It's a question.
I said no. I'm just saying you just don't take it for granted because not even that they vote Republican sometimes. There are black Republicans, case in point yourself. All right? So you can't just take it for granted. All right? Either they're going to vote what they think or they're not going to vote at all.
And what do they normally vote, James? What do the African-American votes – what do the African-Americans vote 90% of the time for the past 40 years? What do they vote for?
90% of the time. Okay, still.
They vote for Democrats, right?
Either that or they don't vote at all.
Thank you. So, again, aren't you simply confirming what I just said, that Barack Obama – can take advantage of the African-American vote because he knows he has it locked? They either will vote for him or they just won't vote. He knows that they're not going to vote for the other guy, so he doesn't have to push any agenda towards them because he knows what they're going to do.
No, I don't think you can just put a blanket Band-Aid on it like that. I really just don't.
But, James, all the black people that we have spoken to that have voted for all the black people that we have spoken to that are voting for Barack Obama cannot tell us why they're voting for him other than they think that he's done something great for the black people, which we all know is a lie. He has not. And then the other black people that won't even say anything else other than we're going to vote for him because he's black. Of course we're going to vote for him. He's black. Why wouldn't we vote for him? He's black. He's like us. He's black. We're going to vote for him.
Where are these? I don't know which people you're talking to.
He's been MIA for a minute.
Well, James, let's investigate that. If you know, as you said, that African Americans are either going to vote Democrat or not vote, right, then they know that the African-American is not going to challenge the Democratic Party by voting the other party, right? Because that would be, for them, if African-Americans, think about it. if African Americans were going to choose between one or the other, in this case, it's not one or the other. It's either one or nothing, right? It's one or nothing. So what do they have their foot in the door? They know, Barack Obama knows, black people are going to vote for me or they're not going to vote at all. It's not going to then transpire or transfer over to Romney. They know it's not. Okay? Because you just said it yourself. They'll vote Democrat or vote nothing. Now, if African Americans put the fear into the world of Democrats and said, you know what? We're just not going to vote for you guys this year. We're actually going to go the other way. If that was a real fear, don't you think that you would do your damnedest to make sure that blacks didn't go the other way?
Okay. More often than not, at least for me, I can't tell you about anyone else, but at least for me, I have voted mostly Democrat, or I haven't voted, simply because if Republican point of view or the Republican push just doesn't suit me at all, and never has, at least not to my satisfaction. So there's no reason for me to go the other way if I don't like that guy even. I don't like that guy at all.
Okay,
if I don't like the Democrat, then I don't vote. If I don't like either one of them, I think it's more telling if I'm not going to vote for either one of them because I don't believe in either one of you.
Okay, so this is where the problem. This is where the problem lies, James. Is that instead of people educating themselves and investigating themselves on which party is forget about Democrat, Republican. Forget about it.
Which candidate you're asking.
Yeah. Forget about what party they are with, what party they represent. Listen to the issues. Listen to listen to what is really going on. Like, why would you vote for Barack Obama simply because he's a liberal and he's a Democrat, just because you feel like you should always vote Democrat? He's a moron. He's running this country into a ground. I don't care whether he was a Republican or a Democrat. Like, I'm not voting for him because he's a Democrat. I'm not voting for him because I don't agree with the way he's running.
So you're not voting for him. So you are voting for him.
No, no.
I am not voting for him.
Yeah, he's playing semantics with you. Okay, so,
well, you
again,
just said you're not voting for him because he's a, well, whatever. All right.
Here's my question, James, and I think you made this abundantly clear. It is an absolute fact that the Obama administration, the White House, has decided, listen, we know the way black people vote. It's...
There's not an absolute... I don't see... Where are you getting this absolute fact from? I hate when you say that.
95%.
You're using
95%,
your assumption based on what you perceive. Your assumption is the only reason he didn't come is because he already figures he's got the vote locked. And you're thinking that it's an absolute fact. But you have showed no facts.
Okay, James.
Can I give him the polls?
Hold on. James, besides Reese getting ready to give you the polls, look at the trends, okay? Look at the trends of what he has been. Has he done anything? Has Barack Obama done anything? Anything for anybody other than illegal immigrants? And
yes,
look at the trends.
And any other time he's tried, they say, well, okay, he's pandering. Then either he's not doing enough or
what
he's
is
doing
too
much.
What is
doing favoritism.
Name something to me that Barack Obama has tried to do for the African-American community. Name something that he has tried to do for the African-American community that got shot down by any of the offices, Congress, whatever, anybody.
Well,
any
actually trying to overhaul education.
He's trying to overhaul education.
I'm glad he mentioned education.
James, the president is against school vouchers. He's
right.
Also against school choice. That means that a parent can choose what school a child can go to. And the reason why he's against school choice is because he has the backing of the teachers' union, who are ardently against school choice. They want those kids in their schools. They do not want them to have the choice to go to charters. And so, and we know charter schools outperform public schools astronomically.
By a long run.
Astronomically. If you see the movie Waiting for Superman, you'll know that.
The movie Waiting for Superman was produced and directed by the guy who's a strangely popular liberal who directed An Inconvenient Truth that promotes global warming. And Waiting for Superman follows charter schools and how well they're doing versus the public schools, and the teachers' union hates this movie. They did everything to keep it from being made or even produced or even into, put into theaters. It was a huge movie 2 years ago, and it challenged the teachers' union. And the teachers' union supports Barack Obama, who supports teachers' unions, who doesn't want parents, especially poor children, poor black children, to have school choice.
And now ask those school teachers that support President Barack Obama how they feel in Pennsylvania. What's the city that went bankrupt?
Oh, Scranton?
Scranton, Pennsylvania. Ask those same school teachers that have been supporting Barack Obama on how he's trying to supposedly better education. All those teachers in that small town, Scranton, that are now making
minimum wage.
Was $7.25?
$7.25 an hour.
$7.25 an hour. Why? Because their town, the entire town, has gone bankrupt because of what President Barack Obama is doing to the country, which is the fourth town to go bankrupt, I think, in a month.
Less than. It's been 2 weeks.
And thank God they didn't lose their jobs totally, but they had to take 75% pay cuts. And they're going to have to raise property tax in that same town to make up for the losses. Well, you lowered people's wages. You cut them 75%. They're only getting a quarter of what they used to get, and now you're going to raise their property tax. So now you're going to take their homes away from them too, and they'll be left without jobs if they don't have homes. So you might as well just go and incinerate all of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on in our education world.
I mean, I'm just saying, you're saying he's making strides in education, James. You know, the education.
There's no evidence of that.
The education sector is doing worse. Mitt Romney said during his speech at the NAACP that this is strange, that African Americans make up 17% of those who go to schools in our public schools. And that's 17% of those who go to our public schools. But yet, those same African Americans make up 42% of those in failed schools. Failed schools. This is the president you want to reelect? This is the president making strides in the African American community? It's symbolism, James. They'll take the lumps of this president. They'll take the failures. They'll take it all as long as they get to say, we got a black president. They don't care about the failures. They don't care about the issues. They never have. They never will. Not that they're not smart enough, but they're more caught up in the symbolism of it all.
And so is the president.
I take offense to, you know, saying that black people are the only people into symbolism and status. That, you're way off base there. It's not just black people. I mean, there's a phrase called that's been coined called keeping up with the Joneses. All right? This has been across the board, not just African American or black people, right?
Keeping up with the Joneses. Hold on, keeping up with the Joneses has never been a phrase that has been that was started by people living beyond their means. The idea was. No, let me explain, James. Hold on, James. Not true. Not true.
That's why they made. The statement. You were trying. You know what to say. You were too busy trying to keep up with the Joneses, and this is why you fell. This is why you lost your house. You did this and you did that. That's the way the saying was always said. How can you say that?
Let me explain to you. First of all, this is the reason why people started keeping up with the Joneses is the reason why there were more parents leaving the household for work so they can make more money. Not live beyond their means. They wanted to make more money so they can keep up with the Joneses. This is the reason why more people joined the workforce. This is why more women, the household became a two-income household because they, again, were trying to keep up with the Joneses. So they can have the Lexus in the house versus the Toyota. So they could have the Mercedes-Benz versus the Honda. That's how they were keeping up with the Joneses. They were working harder and working longer hours so they can make that extra money. That is where that comes from. Now we have a society where they have to have more for less. You know, they had to have more even though they weren't making more money. They were living beyond their means. Living beyond their means is another factoid of the keeping up with the Joneses society. In other words, to maintain a status that was absolutely...
And I don't dispute that. What I dispute is for you giving a blanket that is just black people.
Well, I'm talking about Mitt Romney speaking to the NAACP. So this has to...
What?
No, I'm talking about Mitt Romney having a discussion with the NAACP or giving a speech to the NAACP.
No, but what he's saying is he has a problem with you blanketing black people.
I think I'm right
as
here.
Of living
the well, I'm blanketing the black people who are in that room. I'm absolutely blanketing those people who are in that room, and I think that I'm accurate there. I think I'm absolutely accurate.
And I think you're way totally off base, man.
I think it's fair to disagree with me on that level.
Let's bring Mike, our neighborhood friendly white guy from Florida, in and see what he thinks.
Mike, go ahead.
Okay, well, the term you're looking for has been coined as nigger rich.
Yeah, Negro rich.
Not nigger rich, man. Get it right.
It's Negro rich. I call it Negro
rich.
I mean, that's the I live with my mama and I drive a BMW and I have now and later gators.
Okay. And again, no white person has ever done that, huh?
Okay, wait a minute. That's living ghetto fabulous.
Yes,
that's there's a bunch of them. But,
you know, I'm looking for presidents who have gone to the NAACP meeting, and I found W went in 2008. John McCain went when he was running for president. And the last time that President Obama showed his narrow ass up to the meeting was 2009. He sent Michelle in 2010. And this year he sent them a nice video saying, well, I'm too busy to come down. I want to tell you that I appreciate this being the 102nd meeting, and I'm going to send Eric Holder. So why didn't he go if he doesn't think he has black folk locked up?
Yeah, that's a great question, James. If he doesn't think that he has the black vote locked
up. Well, once again, I don't know what exactly going on in the country. I'm not in the White House. There, you know what? There could have been a crisis. There could have been anything. You don't know, so don't just, you know, pull it out your butt
James,
and
quit. James, hold on, James. There is a crisis, my friend. It's called his presidency.
He's in Kansas City. Going to the All-Star game. Who knows?
There is a crisis, my friend. And the crisis
maybe
is the presidency.
Maybe he's playing golf. You know, he does like to play
golf. Maybe. Which means you don't know for sure.
Oh, James, okay, you know what? Look, I'll bring up that golfing thing in this little anecdote. And, Mike, you got my back on this one because you know it's a fact. James, did you ever see that picture of Barack Obama inside the Situation Room with everyone when they embarked on Osama bin Laden?
Yeah, I saw the picture. Who happened?
Do you notice what President Obama is wearing in that photo in the far left corner, sitting in the chair, hunkered down?
What's he wearing?
He's wearing a black jacket with a golf shirt. That
uh-huh.
Navy SEALs were hunkering down to come down on his Pakistani fortress, whatever it was, okay? Barack Obama had to be called off the golf course and forced into the Situation Room.
Really?
He's playing golf at the time. And
he's played more golf in his 3 3/4 years than any president ever. He's played more than Bush played in 8 years.
Yeah, that's
playing more golf than any other president in the history of this country.
In 3 years.
In 3 years. In 3 years. And again, James, you're of that NAACP crowd. You will give this man a pass at every turn, but yet you can't pinpoint one great thing he's done.
I mean, he plays golf like his name is Tiger Woods. His wife flies around the world like she's a jet-setting socialite.
She took
to the 50 cost of,
people.
To the cost of millions of dollars every time.
Dude, wait, James.
She's the first lady.
James, his wife flew to Spain with 50 people, including her daughters, to go to her gynecologist father's funeral.
What? She has the largest staff of any first lady in history.
What?
Let's get even better. President Obama flies his personal barber in from Chicago to cut his hair every 2 weeks.
James,
wow.
his wife took Air Force Two to Spain with 50 people. A $1,600 a night hotel space, right? $1,600 a night for each room to go to her gynecologist's father's funeral in Spain, dude.
Well, dude, plus, remember they have to bring Secret Service, so they fly a Secret Service jet with their armored cars, and the Secret Service men all have to get paid. And it costs millions to go play around.
And it's not costing them millions, it's costing us millions. Those, that 53% of us that are paying taxes.
Okay, and this president and this first lady is the only ones that have ever gone to their president. Anytime that a president
she's the
and
most
the first lady
travel,
they go to the bathroom.
In history.
They have to have. Okay.
And we're in a recession, and she's the most traveled first lady in history.
We're not talking about any other president. Okay. All of that is in the past. We're talking about right here, right now, this president. Stop trying. That's all liberals ever do. As, oh, well, that president did. So two rights make a wrong. Let me tell you something.
I never said that. You know what I'm saying is, you know, I never hear this stuff. All right. No one is, you know, everyone keeps claiming there's some type of watchdog. But when all this stuff was going on, no one ever said anything. This president, all of a sudden, it's just
her BFF is Beyonce.
James. Yeah. Dick, help me out here. When is the last time you ever heard Laura Bush in a scandal that or any sort of argument where she's ever done anything like go to her gynecologist's father's funeral? And even more so, try this off, guys. How did you
I wasn't paying that much attention to it. So.
According to the Daily Mail, I did a quick Google search for Michelle Obama's travel expenses. In the year 2011, by August, she had spent $10 million on travel.
Okay, I'm going to add one more thing. Michelle Obama, you remember this story. I know you will. Michelle Obama went to a charity event for homeless people. It was sort of like a soup kitchen kind of deal where they were helping out the homeless.
I remember.
And she showed up wearing a pair of sneakers that cost $565. Is that tacky, James?
Whose sneakers cost $565?
It says here that in 2011, she took 42 days of vacation, and this is by August, $2,000 a night on trips to Vail. They rented a farmhouse in Martha's Vineyard for 9 days at $50,000 a week. She drinks martinis with top shelf vodka. She's getting massages on the taxpayer dime. It's ridiculous, man.
And you're sure this is coming from taxpayer money?
What?
Absolutely.
Yes, James, of course it's coming from taxpayers' money.
Okay.
I just want to know where all this evidence is.
I'd like to see it because all I'm hearing is conjecture. And just hearsay.
Oh,
I don't see what the evidence is. You know what? And the thing is, for you to say...
As an intelligent, James, I deem you as an intelligent person, and you know better than that. You're not sounding very intelligent. Are you drinking 211?
Goodbye.
Stop hanging up. Wait.
Enough with that, and I'm really tired of it. I'm done. Bye.
Okay.
Oh,
then.
Good
night.
Really, really going?
Good night, James.
He's really
going
to hang up.
He hung up.
Wow. Why'd you have to go to the 211 thing?
What is the? It was a joke.
Why'd you have to go there?
I've known this man for over 20 years, and you're going to hang up the phone because I'm joking with you about some damn 211. I'm sorry. You didn't hang up the phone because of that. You hung up the phone because you know you ain't got nothing that you can say. Back up.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. Stick around. We'll be back. Oh.
Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. so good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford 4 more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Welcome back. 10 minutes to the top of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio. 7-Eleven, 2012. Did you go get your free Slurpee? I could have, but the cup was too small. And you know me, I got to have me a big 32-ounce. Well, I had something close to that. I think I had a 32-ounce. I think it was a big one, right? Did you see it? That was a pretty big one, right? I had a pretty big one. I love my Coca-Cola Slurpee, as you've all heard here on the show. My Coca-Cola Slurpee is a big deal to me. I used to drink it a lot. I haven't had it in a while. Now I sort of, you know, I count the days and the months, and then I'll have one again when I really, really want one. I love it. So, again, today is 7-Eleven, and every year on July 11th, 7-Eleven, the 7-Eleven stores will give away free Slurpees. And I think it's a great campaign. I don't know if it works very well anymore, but on hot-ass days like today, you need to go in there and go get yourself a Slurpee. And they're free. Why not? Maybe you'll get a hot dog, a big and spicy. Those who know what I'm talking about know. I go in there often. I am a 7-Eleven fan. I'm sorry. I probably love 7-Eleven a little more than a lot of other franchises. I'm a big fan of those places. So I go there all the time. Pizza's not too bad. A little skinny for me, but it's a buck. You know, if you're starving, you don't have any money, you're struggling, maybe you're in the black community, part of the 14.4% unemployed, 7-Eleven is for you. Obama's presidency is a great place for you to go get a dollar pizza and a free Slurpee. Take advantage of it. You need it. There's a story I want to get into. We'll talk about it at the top of the hour, but I want to talk about Jesse Jackson Jr. And there's a story I have to talk about today because my nephew brought it up to me, and I thought it was an amazing story, and he's going to provide the audio for me to talk about this story. It's about a woman who left her daughter at a bar and abandoned her. But you got to hear the details of the story before you make any opinions, because it's an interesting story as to why the police didn't react and why I believe they should have. Or I guess it brings the argument that they should have. Okay, so just to let you know, we were talking about this whole Mitt Romney thing, and, you know, James got upset about the 211 remark, and, you know, he's really sensitive about that. I don't know what that's about, but anyway. So the NAACP leader accuses Romney of favoring white people after speech. The speech that he gave today. So here's the story from the Daily Caller. And I'll read the entire, quick snippet. The response from one NAACP leader after Mitt Romney's speech before the organization on Wednesday, he favors white people I believe his vested interests are in white Americans. This came from Charlotte Stoker Manning, the chairwoman of women in NAACP. She told the website BuzzFeed just after the Republican candidate's speech today. You cannot possibly talk about jobs for black people at the level he's coming from. He's talking about entrepreneurship, savings accounts. Black people can barely find a way to get back and forth from work. Think about what she's saying here. Now, I said often that black people are the biggest racists of them all. Liberals, more so. But liberals are really racist. Think about what she says. You cannot talk about jobs for black people at the level he's coming from. He's talking about entrepreneurship, savings accounts. Black people can barely find a way to get back and forth from work. All blacks are poor, said a black woman. Blacks ain't got no money. Blacks ain't got no opportunity for entrepreneurship. That's what she's saying. So Mitt Romney can't be talking about blacks because blacks ain't got nothing. Blacks don't start businesses. Really? Really? So that's her argument. That is her argument. He says, if you want a president who will make things better in the African-American community, you're looking at him. That's what Romney told them. You're looking at him.
What did he say?
He said, if you want a president who will make things better in the African-American community, you're looking at him.
Did he really?
That's right, he told them. You're looking at him. That took balls.
You gotta give the cracker his due.
You got to.
He went down in front of a bunch of black people that he knew were not liking him.
They did not respond well to that because they're sitting up there. I mean, come on.
He went up there and said, "Check this out. I'm here. I'm running for this country.
He's not.
I got your back.
He's not here. Where is he? I would have said that in my speech. I would have said, "Hey. You got a problem with me? You want to support the first black president? Where is he? Why didn't he come here?"
I would have been like, "Where's your first African-American president?
Why isn't he here?" I mean, if I were African-American, I'd be asking that question. Why isn't he here? Aren't you concerned as to why he's not here? Oh, is it because he's already got your vote? I would have said that. I would have had the balls enough to say that.
But I don't understand why, James obviously was talking about how, well, I don't know what his agenda was. Maybe he has something more pressing going on. They're going to reschedule. So you call them and you say, "Listen, I can't come. This is what I have going on," or some, you know, whatever. "I can either, these are your options. I can send Eric Holder, or we can reschedule, you know, and I'll come and speak on another day."
Look, you're looking at a White House who called Jimmy Fallon a late, late show. Okay, Jimmy Fallon is on after Jay Leno, a late, late show to be on television. Okay, we're talking about it 12 o'clock at night. Okay, 12:30, in fact. It's on at 12:30 at night. The President of the United States went on a 12:30 at night program on NBC, probably the crappiest freaking network that's out there. Get out. Failing ratings. He went on Jimmy Fallon's show to reach out to young people at 12:30 at night, but he couldn't show up to the NAACP.
And not only that, he took time out of his day to call that white woman from the college that Rush Limbaugh went off.
Sandra Fluck.
He called that white woman and personally apologized to her.
Sure enough did.
Is he going to call all the black people and personally apologize to them and tell them, "I'm sorry I couldn't make it
again,
today, but I had some more pressing issues"?
No one can make. Listen, no one can defend this president. I'm sorry, James, and I know, you know, I hate to say it to you, man, but if you're defending this guy, you're an idiot for doing it. You're an idiot for doing it.
No, I won't. I mean,
no,
you can't call him an idiot. He's idiotic. But no, but he has his rights. He has the rights to his own opinions.
But
everybody understands things differently. Everybody sees things differently. You see things black and white. I mean, I'm talking about like pen and, you know, ink and paper or whatever. So some people see it that way and some people, and he just doesn't see it that way. He sees it very, very color of rainbows and butterflies and unicorns and the world, you know, we live, we're great. We have a black president, get off his back, vote him back in. You know, everything is hunky frickin' dory, and it's not.
I don't agree. I really believe that he's choosing to be willfully ignorant. I'm sorry. Bottom line is, the black voters today...
Well, he is choosing to be willfully ignorant.
Willfully ignorant. Will not change anything that he believes in.
Because he won't even... And the reason why I say that, why I agree with you with that, is because he won't even... He won't even go... You can't challenge him and say, okay, well... we have the facts right here. These are the facts. They're right here. Because the only thing he challenges is who wrote that. You can't believe who wrote that. The numbers may not lie, but the people that write them do.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm sad by it.
We love you, James.
We do. I'm sorry, buddy.
This is not, you know, you've already left upset tonight, and I don't want to upset you anymore. We've been friends for far too long.
He'll get over it.
You know.
Let's go to the top.
I've been to your house.
Yeah, we came to your house.
You know? Spent the weekend there.
Sure enough.
Had a great time. Reminiscing from, you know, back in the day.
All right, let's go to the top of the hour.
On the Boulevard of Linden.
We're not pledging to him anymore. We'll be back. Top of the hour. Recent radio.
All right, Lenny! Buckle up! It's showtime!
How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes!
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes!
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will!
I wish I could. Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns. Came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
Reese on the Radio, we're back 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is July 11th, 2012. Okay, I don't know if anybody's been covering this story. I was stunned today. I was shocked today. Shocked today that a mainstream media report actually covered this story. Now, I don't know who's familiar with this Negro, but Jesse Jackson Jr. has got some problems. And you know who he is. This is the Reverend Jesse Jackson's son, Messy Jesse. This is his son.
The apple does not fall far from the tree.
Apparently it doesn't. Well, he's got problems. And NBC did a report today about Jesse Jackson Jr., because he's been missing for a month. Illinois representative, excuse me, missing for a month. No one knows where he is. Can't seem to figure out what's going on. Got a scandal brewing around him. A lot of people are speculating what it is. He was trying to take Barack Obama's Senate seat. I don't know where that voice came from. I don't know who that guy was. I have no idea who said that. Somebody's tapped into our frequency and just made that claim. I don't know why he said it, and I don't know whether or not. He was trying to steal the seat from Barack Obama. After Barack Obama was running for office, he was going to steal it with Rob Globalevich. He was going to steal it. I don't know who that guy is.
Was he going to steal it or was he going to sell it?
I have Tourette's syndrome, and that's what it is. I'm schizophrenic. That's whatever it was a criminal activity, goddammit. And sometimes that happens to me. But here's a story that NBC logged today with Andrea Mitchell. I want you to hear it. And tell me if you're a little bit confused as to what exactly they're saying. Because I don't know whether or not they're actually saying that Jesse Jackson Jr. is in rehab or something else is going on. It appears to be a little confused and I'm saddened by this report. Listen for yourself.
His namesake, friends, is both a blessing and a curse. Jesse Jackson Jr.
He is my father and my friend. I now present to you the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Born at the height of the civil rights movement, raised in national politics by a famous father. Himself once a rising star, now missing in action, not seen in Congress since early June, while battling a House ethics, reported marital problems, and his parents say significant physical and emotional pain.
We hope that he'll be fully restored to his health. Right now he's going through a tremendous challenge.
In fact, friends and colleagues say the congressman was far from Chicago's South Side, being treated for alcoholism at a facility in Arizona. And there are legal issues. The younger Jackson has denied that he tried to get convicted former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to appoint him to President Obama's Senate seat in exchange for money raised by a one-time fundraiser, Rockefeller Naya.
Everyone is going to be amazed at just how innocent I am.
Last month, Nayak was indicted by federal prosecutors on unrelated charges. Today, Democratic leaders signal time and their patience could be running out.
I think Congressman Jackson and his office and his family would be well advised to advise the constituents of his condition. He's obviously facing a health problem.
At Sean's Faith Brigade barber shop in Jackson District, people are asking questions.
Are we elected on the side? There's no way to be found.
I definitely need to know more about what is going to be in this field. Whether it's mental, whether it's physical, even the fellow Democrats on Capitol Hill now are getting impatient because it's been a month now since he's been seen, and there's business to be done.
Tonight, Jackson's wife texted NBC Chicago that her husband is, quote, not in rehab. A good friend told NBC that this has all come down on Jackson like an avalanche, and there's a good possibility he'll have to resign.
A possibility he'll have to resign. Now,
the way his wife said that he was not in rehab?
And there are people saying that he's in Arizona in rehab for alcoholism. But his wife is sending text messages to the local news in Chicago that he's not in rehab. Now, again, the idea was that, look, he wanted that Senate seat. It's a cushy spot, of course. You know, it obviously propelled Barack Obama to the presidency. And here's Jesse Jackson Jr., who probably wants to use that seat to probably get into a prime spot where he is going to be propelled into
the next black
man. Yeah, you damn right. But now he's nowhere to be found. Now, they're screaming. There are people out there saying that he may have tried to commit suicide.
I know. We've read that story last night.
That's right. He may have tried to commit suicide because there is, or there may be, some people out there who have some dirt on Jesse Jackson Jr.
I guarantee you.
Yes. Now, do we call him?
Somebody's got some info on him that is going to put him in jail.
Oh, absolutely.
He'll be sharing a cell with Blagojevich.
So we call him Messy Jesse Jr.?
Sounds like a plan.
Messy Jesse Jr. That's what he is. Messy Jesse Jr.
MJJ.
MJJ?
Yep.
That might be pretty good.
Messy Jesse Jr.
I think, see, this is the part that scares me, is that this, for me, has a lot of deja vu qualities. I'm going to bring Mike in on this one.
Deja vu qualities of what?
Mike is going to know what it is that I'm talking about. And I'm going to test Mike. I'm going to put Mike right now. I'm going to put you in quiz mode right now.
Okay.
Now, remember the last president or the last candidate that's caught in a scandal where somebody killed themselves. And I'm going to say, this is what I think this is reminiscent of. Think really, really hard.
Was this Kennedy?
No. A person who killed themselves, or at least was reported to themselves. There are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there who say that he was murdered. But tell me if you remember.
Oh, yeah, you're really choppy, but I believe you're talking about Vince Foster.
That's right, man.
Oh, you mean that the guy who shot himself using his left hand when he was right-handed, using a firearm that had been put together from several firearms and had blood running uphill when they found him? That guy?
That guy, Vince Foster, exactly. Now
They whacked Vince Foster to shut him up.
That's right. And here is Messy Jesse Jr. allegedly trying to commit suicide. Now, it would have been bad enough if the guy had just been caught trying to use Blagojevich to get this seat. But there have always been these sort of inklings that Obama was somewhat involved.
Jesse Jackson Jr. is so dirty, right? If you just Google it, look around, you'll see that he's involved in a couple of scandals. One, the one that's most pressing, I suppose, is the fact that one of his biggest fundraisers just got indicted for 19 counts of fraud and racketeering, filing false income tax returns. He owns surgery centers and was bribing doctors to send patients to his centers, right? So
This is the Raj guy.
This is Raghuveer Nayak.
Yes.
Right? And Mr. Nayak has been speaking about Jesse Jackson Jr.'s mistress scandal. Apparently, Jesse Jackson Jr. Has a fling going on with a hot blonde restaurant hostess named Giovanna Widobro, who was flown to meet Jesse Jackson by a supporter of his for cost exceeding the House of Representatives gifting rules.
Okay, so here's the deal. It's pretty evident that this guy's got some schmutz on him. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's an ethics violation.
Right, exactly. Now, this guy has got this indictment, this fundraiser, this bungler, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Bungler, as they say. He's got some dirt on him. Do you think he'll turn state's evidence against Jesse Jackson Jr., and that's what Jesse Jackson Jr. is scared of? And that's
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure that this guy, this wealthy doctor or whatever, does not want to end up doing 20 years in Club Fed.
And give them a bigger fish.
Yep, and he owes $1.8 million. So, you know, they're going to say, hey, you know, we'll let you slide on the $1.8 million if you give us Jesse Jackson Jr.
Oh, because he is the bigger fish.
I mean, it's
the sins of the father thing. They know that taking down Jesse Jackson Jr., really put some schmutz on Jesse Jackson in and of himself. He's saying, look, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, sort of thing.
And Obama is no fan of Jesse Jackson.
Father was behind trying to get him killed or something.
Wow. Go ahead. What was that point?
And we know Barack is no fan of Messy Jesse, who threatened to kick him in his balls or whatever.
Oh, cut his nuts off.
Yeah, cut his nuts off.
So, yeah, that would be really, really interesting to me to watch this guy crumble. Now, look, if he resigns, that's one thing, okay? So he takes a little bit of the weight off himself. He resigns. People they'll get caught up in that story maybe for about 2 days. If I know Messy Jesse, you know, and that whole, you know, the Chicago way of politics, he'll resign on a Friday roughly about 3 o'clock. You know, when it makes no news.
This coming Friday.
No, he'll do, every time they do a document dump on Friday on those stories that they know will be in Saturday's paper, which is the thinnest paper of the week. You know, nobody reads any news on a Saturday. You know, a lot of people don't remember this. Anybody remember the day that Hillary Clinton decided to step out of the race during the primaries?
It was on a Friday.
Saturday.
Oh.
Even worse. on a Saturday. No major news coverage. Those 2 days are the worst. Saturday's worse than any day, but the only problem with that is that it ends up in the Sunday papers, which is a big newspaper day, but not a big media day. So it's not covered all news. So you do it on the quiet days. But you do your document dumps on Friday. The stories that you knew are not going to get a lot of press, you do it on a Friday. You damn sure don't want to do it on a Tuesday. That's the worst day ever, you know, for news, because that's when it blows up. But I know that he's going to resign on a Friday, maybe even a Saturday. He'll do a press conference where they can't get enough media out there to do it. He'll just say, look, I've got some mental problems that I need to deal with. You know, I also have my daddy. You know, I got to deal with my daddy. He's a weirdo. My daddy's different. He's caused me pain and mental anguish. Oh, wait. Hold on. Okay, we got to zip this.
Santina Jackson,
his sister is on Fox right now. We got
to
zip it.
Have the HIPAA standards that they have to obey, and I think that what we have to do is dial everything back and just give him the grace of space so that he can get well. But I want to thank you so much for asking for me, for being so kind.
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't think it's people's business, and you know what, we just wish him well. He's in our prayers, and look forward for him coming on the program and beating me up again. So I look forward to that.
Oh, he won't do that, Sean. He won't do that.
he does it with me, but that's okay. All right, Santina, let me throw this at you. So here, the African-American community, 90% plus goes Barack Obama in the 2008 election. Well, unemployment for African-Americans is now up to 14.4%. It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. Youth unemployment, African-American unemployment is now 50%. And as Mitt Romney pointed out, 17% of African-American children in our schools, but they represent 42% of students in the worst-performing schools. So how does Barack Obama make the case that he deserves re-election from a part of his base that voted overwhelming for him?
Well, you know, I wish that he were there this week to make that case. I think that he's made a lot of great strides to try and improve the lot, not just of African-Americans, but of all Americans, because the fact is, through Democratic and Republican presidents, the African-American wealth has dropped 65% since 1983. From 1983 to 2009, it's dropped 65%.
All right, whatever.
We have an issue with Democrats.
All right. They didn't bring up the brother, Sean Hannity.
Bring up the brother, but
yeah,
he
brought
up.
He's talking to Santina Jackson.
Santita.
Whatever her name is, who cares?
Well, at least get it right. It is Santita.
Nigga bitch Jackson. Whatever.
Oh
my
God,
is,
Reese, don't say that. Come
whatever.
On, now
nobody cares. About
Reese,
her.
Stop it.
Her father's a crook.
But
the
you ain't
whole
gotta call her.
I don't
the
give
N-word.
A damn.
Don't do that.
Whatever.
No.
I don't
stop.
Care. Sorry,
stop.
That's just the way I feel. It's just the way
okay,
I feel.
Well, everybody else on the show does not feel that way.
Whatever.
I'm not calling her the N-word. Her name is Santina Jackson.
Nobody gives a damn. She's
and
a liar.
I don't know her, so.
Mike, did you want to say something?
Well, to go back to what we were talking about with James before he got hacked off, that,
yeah.
You know, black people are going to go out and either vote for Obama or not vote at all. Well, that mindset of there's only two choices is part of the reason we're in the screwed up situation we are now anyway. And if you Google how many people are running for president in 2012, you know how many names are on the ballot?
I think it's what are we up to, six now?
13.
No.
There are 13 candidates running. Not all have ballot access in every state,
but there are
13 candidates running for office. Go vote for one of them. I mean, I haven't missed an election since I became eligible to vote in 1988.
But again, see, I'll make that argument. I'll make that argument as well, Mike, is that clearly the African-American community, they don't know anything about those other, in this case, 11 candidates. They
well,
don't
care
about
you,
that. If they know that they're going to be mentioned. They're going to be mentioned on the regular news that they do watch. They know that Mitt Romney's running. They know that Obama's running. Whoever dominates the media is what they dominate. They're not out there investigating that. They don't even care about it. You know, you got to watch that Waters World. You got to watch that Waters World thing, which I thought was amazing. The Waters World thing on Bill O'Reilly the other day when they were asking all of these young white people about the 4th of July, and they didn't even know who it is that he got our independence from.
Well, I'll tell you, man, the 2008, right, I didn't vote for Barack Obama, and I didn't vote for John McCain. Right, I couldn't vote for Obama because, you know, let's face it, he's unqualified. And I wasn't going to vote for John McCain, who was a career politician who was a horrible human being in his personal life, treated veterans like crap, and picked the worst possible running mate imaginable in Caribou Barbie. So I wrote in a candidate. I took my pencil out, and I wrote in a candidate I thought would be a better choice. And I wrote in Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Are you kidding me?
I'm serious.
You wrote in the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I would rather take a genius junkie than those two idiots.
Mike, you scare me sometimes.
You're hilarious.
How do you like my show, and you are so far radical than...
Dude, I'm not radical. If they're going to give me joke candidates, I'm going to treat it like a joke.
Well, I'll admit, Mitt Romney was a joke. I put my vote in for Alan Keyes.
I mean, do you think that...
You said, who was the joke?
Picking Sarah Palin was an insult.
I don't agree with you there. But you
that was straight up pandering. She wasn't qualified. I mean, she was no more qualified than Obama. She'd been mayor of a small town. She'd been governor a year.
Like, I agree with you. You're talking about Sarah Palin, right?
Yeah, they put her in so that horny old white dudes would vote for her, and soccer moms would say, "Oh, she's like me." But she basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, she was like that girl that dropped off at the bar you're going to talk about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She was.
That's just...
Mike, she was, and I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Well,
that
you know the worst Sarah Palin joke ever? I'll tell it.
Go ahead.
What's the difference between Sarah Palin's mouth and her vagina?
Please say that the mouth speaks.
Only one retarded thing has ever come out of her vagina.
Oh, that's just sick.
Oh, damn, that's messed up.
Where did you get that? Oh, he's having a blast on that one.
That is really messed up, Mike.
Yeah, but it's pretty funny.
It is.
All right, I'll admit. Nothing is off limits on Reese on the Radio.
But I can't even stand to sit and look at her, no less listen to her talk.
Yeah, Mary.
Reese is in awe of this chick. First, she's just like makeup face.
She didn't even finish out her term.
Her head
is on the people of Alaska in a heartbeat.
But she had a 68 approval rating when she left.
But she was governor for 2 years, and it's not hard to be, you know, successful governor in Alaska when you're a hot woman in a state that's 85% male. And you finagle for the oil companies to kick the citizen out of $2,000 a year.
You know what? I'm not going to get into Sarah Palin with you, but you know what? I promise you, I'm going to have an extensive conversation with you about Sarah Palin on this show. I don't think that people have given her the credit that she deserves. This woman has done much more in that state than Barack Obama did in a state like Illinois.
Well,
of course. But when he had a major state.
He was a senator for how long?
158 days present.
Yeah.
158 days present. While he was
Well, you know, like
senator.
You said, man, two wrongs don't make a right. How about they both suck?
Well, I'm probably not going to say they both suck. But I'm going to say she's clearly more qualified than him.
No, you do have to admit that, I mean, Alaska. We are talking about Alaska.
What? It's not a state?
It took her 7 years to get a journalism degree. Okay? Seven. She would have been the least educated person ever to be near the White House.
And you're telling me that Barack Obama, who's in the White House, is the most?
No, I mean, he's well-educated, but W was well-educated, too. You know, W had an MBA from Harvard or something.
Damn right he did. You're damn right he did. He was way more
treated. They treated him like he was stupid. He wasn't stupid. He just played that fake cowboy nonsense for some reason.
No,
which was funny because
like,
we know you're not from Texas, dude. You're from Maine.
Well, he's from Connecticut.
Yeah, and he spent most of his time in Kennebunkport, Maine. How come he's the only one with a Texas accent?
He's from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Connecticut, but yeah. Why is he the only one with a Texas accent? You don't think that Herbert Walker Bush has a Texas accent?
No.
Oh, you got it.
Not at all. I think H.W. just has a generic white guy accent. But Bush sure plays off like he's a rootin' tootin' cowboy.
He is a rootin' tootin' cowboy. You're upsetting me, Mike.
No, Ronnie was a cowboy. Bush is not a cowboy.
Who's a cowboy?
Ronnie. Grandpapa.
Ronald Reagan.
Well, he played a hell of a cowboy in the movies, but he was a good cowboy.
Yeah, he was a cowboy.
Yeah, well, Pop was a cowboy. There ain't no lying about that. Pop was a cowboy. He's a real cowboy.
He had a cuter monkey than Michael Jackson.
It bothers me when candidates have to pander, when the electorate is saying, well, what are you going to do for African-American people, or what are you going to do for gay people? It's like your concern should be, what are you going to do for the country, not what are you going to do for my particular interest group. And I don't think anybody gives a crap. And people are worried about these
inconsequential
issues. When you're $16 trillion in debt.
Go ahead, JC.
I don't think you could consider the African American an interest group.
Why not?
What do you mean an interest group?
Sure, they're an interest.
We were an interest group when we were slaves. Yeah.
We'll call it a special interest. You know,
yes.
So like every other hyphenated American.
Oh, we're retarded.
But, you know, people are so worried about this silly bullshit, pardon my language, and they're not realizing that we're basically on the cusp of our country being insolvent. Nobody mentions that.
You're right, Mike, but that's why we mentioned earlier, four towns or cities, counties, have gone totally bankrupt.
A bunch in California. And what nobody will mention about the reason the California cities are bankrupt is because they're full of illegal aliens who use services and don't pay taxes.
Well, don't forget about the public service unions. Do not forget about
San Bernardino.
But now our president, the man in charge of the free world, is allowing those same immigrants to stay here.
I mean, maybe they'll pay taxes now that they got work permits, but you know they don't have health insurance, so they go to the ER for the treatment and don't pay. They have no ID, and they say, my name is Juan Gonzalez. You know, if there's like 85 million Juan Gonzalez's in L.A., so the taxpayer eats it. That's why they're screwed. You know, I think I sent you a tweet a while back, Reese, about how there'll never be enough jobs in America again.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, with the massive immigration that we have from everywhere, it's not just, illegal coming in from the South. You know, we import all kinds of people, and they breed at a much higher rate than everybody else.
Yeah, they do.
You know, Hispanics have a lot of kids. They're going to have to use this many more people, and there's not enough jobs to go around with outsourcing and automation. You know, I think basically, not to be negative, but we're friggin' doomed.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you there. It's got to be a fundamental change. It's got to get back to the basics. I think you nailed it there. I think you nailed it there. All right, let's take a break when we get back. I've got to talk about this woman who left her daughter at a bar. It's just too funny. It's an amazing story nonetheless. But we'll get into that when we get back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Have to be
back. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Teresa on the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Teresa on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. Going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Resona Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Resona Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Resona Radio. I'm back. 5 minutes after my camera.
Is that like a, wasn't that a Snoop Dogg reference
or
something?
Yeah, it was some, I don't know, one of those like NWA Snoop, I don't
know.
Yeah, it was 7-11.
I don't even remember that.
I don't know any of the other ones.
Yeah, I don't know the rest of it either. Okay, so I've got this audio that I want to play for you. I guess all I do is just tap it. This was a story that happened.
All you got to do is tap it?
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, so here's the audio. I want you to hear the story, and I hope you can all hear it. You should be able to hear it.
Now the story of a woman who left her mentally disabled daughter outside of a bar and then just took off. That woman will not be charged. Police say Eva Cameron left her daughter, Lynn, outside the bar in Tennessee, then drove home to Illinois. Lynn Cameron had cerebral palsy, visual impairment, is nonverbal. Police said she did not know her known name. Our affiliate WVLT spoke to the mom, Eva, who says she had the best intentions. Listen.
When I didn't get the help I needed from Illinois, somebody at the church said, why don't you go down to Tennessee, they can help your system, and I need you to get a lot. And then she became a Jane Doe, and it wasn't supposed to happen that way.
Well, not exactly that way. Prosecutors say, though, because Lynn is over 18 years old and is legally an adult, even though she has the mental capacity of a 2-year-old, her mother did not commit a crime and will not be charged, even though she left her in this bathroom at a bar. John Traynor is a reporter who interviewed the mom, Eva Cameron, and he joins us now. Nice to see you. So what exactly, I mean, she didn't sound particularly sorrowful in that interview, at least the little piece that we played. What was her reaction when you were interviewing her?
Yeah, well, the most shocking part about that was how calm she was. She even laughed a little when remembering the day that she left Lynn at the bar. She said her plan was to drop her off in Tennessee. Originally, she told police that she was going to drop her off, and actually someone was going to pick her up at a Waffle House down the street. The police called that center in Johnson City, Tennessee. They'd never heard of her. That's when they started getting very curious, and then she admitted that she let her out to go to the bathroom, and it just took off.
So the plan all along was to abandon her, maybe abandon her with ID so she could get some kind of health care, but just to really abandon her daughter who I believe has the mental capacity of a 2-year-old. Is that right?
Yeah, the plan was to leave her in Tennessee where hopefully she can get health care. But when she talked to the police, and again, very calm and didn't really sound too broken up about it, she said she just couldn't handle her anymore. She couldn't take care of her anymore, so she just kind of left her in Caraville, Tennessee, which is far from Illinois and really not a city center in Tennessee at all either.
Oh, in so many ways, such a terrible tragedy. I mean, it sounds like the mom in some ways is completely overwhelmed by caring for her adult daughter. At the same time, you can't just leave people behind somewhere in a bar, but I guess legally she's not in any jeopardy, is she, the mom?
Well, and that's the question we had, was why isn't she facing any legal consequences, at least in Tennessee? We heard there's an investigation in Illinois, but if they had the same statutes as Tennessee, she's really just not going to be in legal trouble. Again, Lynn is over 18, and beyond that, there was no physical harm. And when we talk about statutes, at least in the state of Tennessee, even if you leave a six-year-old at a bar, as long as she's not physically harmed and the police can intervene or she gets home, there's nothing criminally that the parents can be faulted for.
Okay. That,
what?
That, to me, is the most amazing story ever. Ever! I have to give Justin credit for giving that story to me. This story is insane. Mary, as a woman, I'm just going to let you flip out on this before I say anything.
I mean, what are you talking about? What is going on when you drive from Illinois to Tennessee, drop this 22-year-old...
Dun-dun-dun-dun. What? 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 What did I say? What did I say? Make your point, please.
I don't even know where to go from there. Wow.
Yay. Yay.
Hey, so she...
Yay.
Disabled child off in a bar and leaves in the bathroom like, yo, check it out. I've had enough of yo shit. I'm leaving you and your shit in the bathroom. I'm out.
She drove away while she went to the bathroom. That is an
damn, how cruel are you?
That's, again.
And then, hold up, you made it. Not only did you roll out and leave her in the bathroom at a bar.
I mean, damn,
could you have left her in a Krispy Kreme bathroom or something?
Those are donuts?
Toys R Us?
Toys R Us. Oh my goodness!
They said she only had the mental capacity of a 2-year-old.
Yeah,
so
Toys R Us would have probably been more.
At least she would have, you know, been maybe possibly a little bit more comfortable than her mom. That she might even know to her mother. Just the person she's kind of known for. I don't know.
That is classic.
And no charge can be brought. I can't even get over the fact of the lady. I can't even talk about this. All of that shit is irrelevant. How do you just leave?
Yeah. Toys R Us makes more sense to me. I'm there with you on the Toys R Us.
You know, peace out.
Edward in Connecticut, as usual, has joined us. Edward, no charges against this mother. Is this appropriate?
I mean, you know, I am not surprised because, you know, you really can't make laws for every, you know, you can't think of every stupid thing someone's going to do and make a law, you know, to cover it.
You said that you can do that with a 6-year-old. You can do that to a 6-year-old.
Not in every state. I guess in Tennessee, it's not a big deal to leave someone in a bar, you know, a 6-year-old in a bar.
He said, I guess, not in every state, but in Tennessee, I guess it's okay for you to leave a 6-year-old in a bar and then abandon her and drive back to Illinois. Go ahead, Edward. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm wondering, if this woman, while she was waiting at the bar, did she get hit on by, you know, guys or, you know, what happened?
Of course she did. Of course she did. Hey, baby, let me buy you a drink. You look like a daiquiri person. Mike, this is... Okay, fine. I am going to take your libertarian views and ask you, because I know you're probably one of those things, like, we can't make laws for everything. But come on, this is a little extreme, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it is a little extreme to drop, you know, Corkhead off at a bar. But... you know, she's an adult, and I guess the law says it's not child endangerment.
Right, it can't be child endangerment. I thought it, when Justin first told me the story, he said that this woman left her daughter at the bar and then drove off, and my initial reaction to that was, wow, daughter, and I was immediately thinking child. But then, of course, as he explained it further to me, he then said, oh, she's 23 or 22 years old. And I said, oh, okay, I can understand that. But Justin brings up a very important point. this is still abandonment in some degree.
Well, yeah, but can you abandon an adult? I mean, I've left chicks at the grocery store. Does that mean I abandoned them?
Yeah, I guess you're right. But wait a minute.
You know, the problem is, you know, 50 years ago, that mother would not have had that burden, right? Somebody would have told her, look, you know, put this kid in an institution. You're not going to want to handle this, and we'll take care of her. But
right.
Somewhere along the line, it became politically incorrect to do that. You know, you became a bad parent.
Yeah, but
and
we can't
I've seen parents with high-functioning Down syndrome children, you know, okay. Who basically are like seven-year-olds. And that's a huge burden. But a high-functioning Down syndrome kid is like a real person. He's like a teenager or a pre-adolescent. You know, they can take care of themselves to a large degree.
Yeah,
you know, that's a nightmare. I mean, can you imagine having that forever and ever?
I totally agree. She's probably had to deal with this Down syndrome clearly for 22, 23 years. She has had enough. But
not even Down. I mean, this girl is like Timmy from South Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
And that's what I'm saying. With orphanages, but wouldn't you? I mean, an appropriate place is not a bar for crying out loud.
Drop her off at the nearest emergency room. I mean,
or drop her off at maybe one of these churches that will.
Yeah, or a fire station or somewhere. Hell, a grocery store for that matter.
Exactly. Even a grocery store. For a catch her in aisle three sucking down cheese.
I bet. No, eating baby carrots.
Whatever. But the point is.
I said Toys R Us.
Yeah, I agree with you. Toys R Us. As outrageous as they sound, Barry, Toys R Us is an appropriate place for this girl. She could have been, you know, by the American Girl dolls, you know, maybe some Barbies. You know, she'll be in aisle four, you know, sucking on Play-Doh, whatever.
Like they said she was like a two-year-old.
Yeah, she's like a two-year-old.
Somewhere sitting sucking on a teething ring.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. And Timmy coming, you know, around.
Goo goo gaga.
Timmy on the loudspeaker going, Tim, yeah, we got a girl sucking on Play-Doh in aisle three. You might ever come down here, and maybe we need to call the authorities. Damn it. Okay, now
she swallowed the Play-Doh.
Yeah, she's swallowing the Play-Doh. She's playing Monopoly by herself, and damn it, she grabbed the Twister board. Oh, it's gonna be a mess down here. Just something for crying out loud. Give the girl a place to stay. Just help this poor girl out. But damn, a bar? What made this woman say, yeah, that's the ticket. I'm going to put her into a room with full of alcoholics. A girl with Down syndrome in a bar with a bunch of drunk people. I mean, has anybody seen that movie, Accused?
Could possibly be a bunch of sickos, a bunch
of... Exactly! That's what I said. Anybody ever seen that movie, Accused, with Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen a picture of this girl?
I did. We saw the girl. She's kind of tall.
She might have been safe in Tennessee, dude. I'm just saying.
JC, what did you want to say?
Drop her off at Disney.
Well, she came from Illinois to Kentucky. You think she should have just drove?
Tennessee.
From Illinois to Tennessee. You think she should have just taken the trip all the way to Orlando?
She should have dropped.
Left her right on the teacups.
Left her on the teacups. This is just cruel. You know how many emails I'm going to get for this cruelty?
It's not cruel. She didn't leave her nowhere. What are you talking about? Should I drop that girl off?
I know. We'll repeat a little insert.
My mama did.
This is
how about at a concert?
No, I don't think that would have been a concert. That'd have been mayhem. Oh, that just
mommy gonna take you dancing. No, mayhem would have been taking her to a strip club. Said mommy, take you dancing.
You're right.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
JC, you're going a little too far here. You're getting a little creepy now.
All right, another story I want to talk about real quick.
doesn't pass.
Okay, so yesterday we talked about Brad Pitt's brother, Doug. He's come forward, and he has defended his mama. Brad Pitt, nothing.
You didn't
hear this? Okay, so Doug Pitt, Brad Pitt's brother, has come forward and defended his mother. This was yesterday.
Not on the Today Show.
On the Today Show.
He didn't defend. Did he really?
Sure he did. He said, listen, you know, everybody has their own opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we're a family.
Right, we're family and we're going to disagree.
But he doesn't really get into defending her.
But he's saying that, he says that he shouldn't get into all of that other stuff that it gets into.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's defending his mom.
Okay,
so still, no word from Brad Pitt. In fact,
he's getting out and saying, check this out, stop threatening my mom.
Well, no, he didn't do that. You're absolutely right. But here's the strange part. John Voight, Angelina Jolie's dad, has come out and supported Jane Pitt, Brad Pitt's mom. So the reporters went to Brad Pitt and his people to see if they could get a comment about these death threats. Brad Pitt's people said no comment. No comment. I mean, Brad, this was a real bitch move, my friend. That's a real bitch move. You have no comment about defending your mother? I mean, wow. I'm stunned by it. Angelina Jolie's pops comes out and says something to defend someone he's not even married to. And her own son says no comment? That's according to the report. No comment. So I'm stunned by that, and that is making me laugh. Okay, last story, and I need to get into discussion about this. Yeah, I'm showing it to Mary right now. The headline reads...
Don't do it. I can't take it. I love this place. Please.
Oh, yeah.
I will never...
They
come
fell
on.
Do it. If you don't read it, I will.
Oh, my God. Please don't do it. Don't say it. I can't take it.
Coffins and coffee. Starbucks to open inside upstate funeral.
Oh.
In Easley, South Carolina, those grieving the dearly departed at Robinson Funeral Home in Easley will soon have a little something extra to soothe the pain, a cup of Starbucks Joe. The fourth generation funeral home and crematory is adding a new section to its existing facilities, which includes business offices, a chapel, and a special wing aptly named Coffee Corner, where soon a Starbucks will open. The owner, Chris Robinson, explains how coffee has always been a part of the family business, saying his great-grandfather started the funeral home inside of a Main Street general store where people would gather and drink coffee. Robinson, who's a bit worried people will get the wrong idea about the coffee shop, said it's one more service for people to choose, but one that's certainly not mandatory. You walk in the front, it's off to the side. It's not like it's right up in front, but it's in the back. Robinson has hired staff to run the Starbucks franchise, which will be open to the public, not just those attending services. Starbucks will install equipment and menus at the end of July, and Robinson expects the shop to open sometime in August. If funeral goers worry about not getting coffee cups, getting free cups of coffee at visitations and other services, fear not, the owner says. We will still have the homemade Robinson coffee too. The Robinson Starbucks will be the first in Easley, but because it's not a full-size store, they're not allowed to put Starbucks signage on the building's exterior. Oh my God, thank God for that. As part of the agreement with the coffee giant. Wait. I have to read this. This is my favorite part. Comments are always my favorite part of this story. And this guy, right, I have to give him his full name. His name is Ed Cole. He is the top commentator. He wrote, and I quote, "I wonder if they're customized the drink menu.
Oh my God.
Corpsicino. Extra cremate."
This could open a whole new avenue of co-ops and Starbucks. They could have kiosks in Mormon churches with a little Latte Day Saints brew. AA meeting sites with their double shot energy drinks on special, open espresso bars at breastfeeding clinics, etc. I love this story. Gentlemen,
no. No.
This is the best.
For the love of God. For the love of Jesus. For the love of my coffee every morning.
You love Starbucks. You are a big Starbucks.
I go to Starbucks every day. I will never be able to do it again.
This is a great story.
This is a great story. This is the ending of a beautiful love story between myself and Starbucks.
I agree.
Well, good. You ought to be frequenting a small business anyway.
That's right.
Mike.
Give your money to that multi-billion dollar soulless corporation. You tell me there's not some small coffee house in D.C. you give your money to?
Mike.
Yeah.
She loves the Starbucks.
I love
the Starbucks. It sucks. It always tastes burnt.
Wait a minute. No, I drink mocha frappuccino. I don't do the hot. I do hot coffee at home and mocha frappuccino at Starbucks.
Honey, I guarantee you, an independent coffee shop will make you a better mocha frappuccino. Probably charge you less too.
I think it's a great idea.
Hey, because I was going to say, isn't that going to drive up the price of the funeral?
I have tears in my eyes.
Wait. Who said this? JC, you said, is it going to drive up the price at the funeral?
Yeah, I mean, it's $10,000 to bury somebody now. That don't it cost that much to go into Starbucks now? $10,000. Have a cup of Joe with your Jane Doe.
Oh my!
Support small business, Mary. Go give money to some regular business, not a massive corporation.
I tell you right here, right now. Today is July 7, 2012. My story with Starbucks and...
Really? You're really going to quit them now?
I can never drink coffee there again. They're a joke.
God, they're not straining the coffee through a skull or anything.
I'd like to see them open up one in a strip club.
Not like they would.
You know,
extra shot of milk and see how that comes out.
You know, I actually questioned a strip club owner as to why they didn't do that. They didn't bring in, you know, high-end coffee. And he said that it was a safety hazard for the dancers. Because getting a Jack and Coke spilled on you is one thing. Getting a hot cup of coffee spilled on you is quite another.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree there. Yeah, I don't think I want hot
coffee
in that
place. Yeah, a cold Jack and Coke will make a sister's nipples hard.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah, but a cappuccino will make them fall off.
Exactly.
Medium rare.
So okay, so we all agree. Bad idea. I think the backlash
on this.
No, I
swear to
you. No, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Good idea.
Yeah, easily. South Carolina has 17,000 people. It's probably the only Starbucks they have.
So
you know?
No one has a problem with coffee in a coffee conglomerate.
No, not just
a
coffee place, but Starbucks, come on.
I don't care.
No, it's a free market.
I want a Dunkin' Donut to me emergency room.
They're not selling porn or anything. It's just coffee.
I know, but I just can't see Starbucks in a funeral home. I mean, come on. It's a happy experience. I love going to Starbucks. I mean, I just think it's so senseless. It's ridiculous, and I just...
I won't
frequent them anymore.
Yeah.
And I may lose a few pounds because I won't be drinking no more damn grande frappuccinos.
A lot of people are comforted by coffee, so maybe this will help some of the grievers.
Exactly. And you can always pour a little Jack Daniels in that coffee to get over.
If they really wanted to make money, put a damn package store in the funeral home.
They should have put a damn Murphy's bar in the funeral home. That's what they should have done.
You're probably right about that. I think that
that's what goes good together. Getting a good load on, celebrating death or life, however you want to look at it, but I want to get toasted.
Put a Neely's barbecue near the crematorium.
Ooh.
Wow, you want to put a barbecue place next to the crematorium? You know, that's just sick. I don't even have a joke for that, although I could probably think of one. That's just sick. I guess wouldn't people be concerned about what it is that they're eating at a barbecue joint next to a crematorium? Like, there would be rumors that would fly.
Do you think people will give a crap about what they eat anywhere?
As long as the sauce is good.
I don't know what to say.
I mean, people eat pizza from 7-Eleven.
What's that?
People eat pizza from 7-Eleven. I don't think they'll worry about barbecue next to the crematorium.
Pizza from 7-Eleven, I don't think they'd care either. You're probably right.
Tomorrow starts day number one of my departure from Starbucks.
So you're really not going to do Starbucks? Let's see how long that
I will never drink again.
Really?
I vow.
A Chinese buffet next to the next to the veterinarian clinic?
All right, we're done. That's our show for the night. James, I'm sorry that you left. We had a lot of fun. We'll talk to you later.
He'll be back.
It's Reese on the radio. Of course, James is the producer. And Mike, our neighbors is Mike. Mary, Mary, why you bugging? And, of course, my nephew. Yeah. I'm Reese on the radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same bad channel. Right here on Reese on the Radio. Good night.